as we are working our way through the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 6, questions numbers 16 through 19. Let us read responsibly. Why must he be a true and righteous man? Because the justice of God requires that the same human nature which has sinned should make satisfaction for sin, but one who is himself a sinner cannot satisfy for others. Why must he also be true God? That by the power of his Godhead he might bear in his manhood the burden of God's wrath, and so obtain for and restore to us righteousness and life. But who now is that mediator who in one person is true God and also a true and righteous man? Our Lord Jesus Christ, who is freely given unto us for complete redemption and righteousness. From where do you know this? From the Holy Gospel, which God himself first revealed in paradise, afterward proclaimed by the holy patriarchs and prophets, and foreshadowed by the sacrifices and other ceremonies of the law, and finally fulfilled by his well-beloved Son. So here we have the declaration concerning who is our Redeemer. What is the requirements for one who would come and redeem us from our sin and misery? Remember, we are focusing on the second part of the catechism. How are we redeemed from all our sins and misery? And the redemption is found in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the question is raised, why must he be a man? Why must he be God? Why does the Redeemer have to be both? And the answer is, number one, because he is a true and righteous man, because it is man, it is us as humans that sinned. And so, therefore, it must be a human that dies for us. It must be appropriate, proper or satisfaction for sin can be made in no other way. And so, and also, he was true and righteous. He was without sin, so that he could then take and die for our sins. He that knew no sin became sin. I don't know if you realize how hard that was, how offensive that was for the Holy One to become sin. I think we're too close to the sin part to really understand the Holy One part and the contrast that Christ, what he went through when he became our sin, when he became cursed for you and I. At the same point in time, it only is God who could endure what we deserve. Again, sometimes I think we minimize our sin. We look at the cross, we see the wrath of God poured out on your sin. And it is only God could bear the burden of God's wrath, eternal wrath, infinite wrath. And so because he is the God-man, he has obtained for us and restored to us both life and also righteousness. Notice also in question number 18, he is our Lord Jesus Christ is freely given to us for complete redemption and also for righteousness. What is your righteousness before God? If your righteousness before God is you or your works, then you are in trouble. Machen, dying, sent a telegram to John Murray and wrote in it, "I thank God for the righteousness of Christ," or the act of obedience of Christ, or the righteousness of Christ, "for there is no hope apart from that." He understood the need for imputed righteousness, Christ's righteousness. And I love question number 19, where the gospel is proclaimed. not just in the New Testament, but throughout the Bible, all the way back in Genesis chapter 3, all the way through the patriarchs, the prophets, pointed to in many places through sacrifices and other ceremonies of the law. The gospel is proclaimed from Genesis to Revelation. The glory of God is revealed. The mercy of God, the grace of God, and the justice of God are all revealed throughout God's word. Amen?